Welcome to KCIABC Today, the podcast of the Kansas City Chapter of the International Association of Business Communicators. I'm your host, Roy Harriman.
Our guest today is Andy Tretiak, Chief Marketing Officer of Sporting Kansas City, and he's one of two speakers at our Thursday, September 20th luncheon at Brio on the Plaza. Andy will be talking about success with a brand new brand. Andy, welcome.
Thank you.
I need to add that Andy will be joined on the 20th by Sasha Victorine, a former professional soccer player who is now a director of business development for Sporting Kansas City. Andy, looking over your profile, it's clear that you have a great deal of experience with brands in your different roles with Barclay and other agencies. And I'm curious, how has your experience with Sporting Kansas City been different from previous brand building that you've done?
Well, you know, I think it's probably different in a number of ways. I think first and foremost, through my experience at Barclay and other advertising agencies, I never had a chance to actually rebrand something that had already existed, which I got to do, obviously, with the club and transforming from Kansas City Wizards to Sporting Kansas City. So that was certainly different, and it was one of the aspects of the position that really attracted me. And the other part of it was, you know, when you're on the agency side, you have influence as a consultant, but you don't make the final decisions when it comes to any aspects of the business, but certainly when it comes to, you know, the brand side of things. And having the opportunity to make those final decisions and working in conjunction with ownership, that level of responsibility was, you know, obviously exciting, but also, you know, there was a lot of pressure there with the change that we were planning to make and the ramifications of that, so wanted to make sure we did it the right way.
Okay, sure. So getting to rebuild a brand or getting to rebrand an entity that already existed, but then also having a different perspective from the agency role as being actually working with the ownership team as part of that organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're on the agency side, there's only a certain level you can reach in terms of providing that influence. But when you're on the client side or the property side, you make that final decision, and that's what I had been looking for personally.
Now, just on a personal level, I'm curious how you moved into this role. I wasn't sure if you were a big soccer fan or maybe you even played yourself or if it just seemed like the right position at the right time.
You know, I'm not a soccer guy at all. I was always a stick and ball guy, okay. Big sports fan. And actually, when I was at Barclay, they started working with the Wizards, and I spent some time on that account and started working specifically with Rob Heineman and Andrew Steinberg and Greg Cotton, and you really enjoyed working with those guys, but also was very intrigued with what they were doing and felt like it would be a huge challenge to sell soccer in Kansas City. You know, the Wizards had success to a certain point. Certainly on the field they had done well, but had mixed results off the field, and you know, felt like if this was something that could succeed, it would be a great story and be a tremendous amount of fun to be a part of.
Great. So it wasn't so much soccer itself, but the uniqueness of the challenge that drew you into it.
Yeah, and you know, certainly the opportunity to open a new stadium too was exciting, and you know, you don't get a chance to really be involved in rebrands of anything. You know, those just don't happen that often, and to be able to do it within a subject matter that I love in sports and obviously in my town in Kansas City was something I couldn't pass up. But I had to learn a lot more about soccer. I had a brother who played all the way through high school, so I had started picking up a little more when he played, but was never a huge fan growing up. And I think the last time I played, I had to serve a two-game suspension at intramurals in college for a little issue on the court or on the field, I should say, and it was indoor, but hadn't really played since, but you know, I've now become obviously a huge fan of ours, but become much more aware of international soccer and have become a fan as well. And it was really great timing because when I started, that was right around the 2010 World Cup, and so that was a great way to kind of get baptized into the sport and see the excitement around, you know, the obviously one of the biggest sporting events in the world, and being able to be a part of that with what's going on in Kansas City and the Power and Light District and seeing the crowds that came out there, and obviously U.S. playing some exciting matches was a lot of fun, and I got hooked from there.
Well, great, and we won't probe too deeply about what actually happened and that caused that two-game
the suspension. Yeah, you go to the intramural archives at the University of Missouri, you could probably find out, but I was innocent, let's just put it that way.
Okay. Now, I'm sure, Andy, when some marketing people hear about what you do, they may be tempted to think, you know, wow, that guy lives the life of Riley, hanging out with soccer stars, rubbing shoulders with VIPs. But, you know, what are some of the big challenges that you grapple with in marketing sporting Kansas City?
Wow. I mean, that's a great question because, you know, when I had worked at a sports marketing agency before, and when I would tell people that I met or friends what I was doing, you know, the perception was that you just sit up in suites drinking scotch and,
right,
you know, hobnobbing with everyone, which, you know, a lot of times the games or events would start and we would be gone. But, you know, there are a lot of challenges associated with it in terms of just the day-to-day responsibilities. You know, first and foremost, you know, we want to get people into the stands. And so, you know, from the earlier stages of, you know, the transformation from the Wizards to Sporting Kansas City, we had an uphill battle at first. And so it was really kind of, from our perspective, you know, one of the strategies we employed was making sure that we didn't take anything from granted in terms of the little things. So we looked at the way fans and the general public react to the other professional sports teams in Kansas City, and we wanted to make sure that our experience and the way that we communicated our club and the way we got people excited about what we were doing and keeping them abreast of what was going on with the team mimicked the way that they felt about other professional sports teams. So we wanted to make sure that we hit every little detail. I think certainly from the rebrand standpoint, we had to look at everything that was going on with that. And certainly there were mistakes that were made by vendors, by even league partners, that we had to really keep a close eye on because there was so much invested in the new brand. We wanted to make sure that it was being replicated the right way and communicated the right way. So, and then, you know, a lot of it was telling our story, you know, talking to media outlets or corporate partners or vendors or what have you, and really spreading the gospel about the brand and educating them about why we made the change and what's behind the change. And then obviously, what's going on with the new stadium and what the game experience is going to be like coming to a Sporting KC match and really kind of going through that process. So we had to invest a lot of time in telling our story and educating everyone that we worked with that would be influenced by the change and put a lot of hard work into that, but those little details paid off.
Well, and I'm sure it's like with anything else, when things go well, if you're good at what you do, you make it look easy, but you know it's not. Well, I can tell Andy this is going to be a great luncheon. One final question for you, and then a
sure.
reminder to everyone that they can hear Andy and Sasha on Thursday, September 20th, at lunch at Brio on the Plaza. Andy, obviously Sporting Kansas City is a unique brand, and most marketers will never have the opportunity to work with something like it. You know, they're busy marketing cell phones, medical software, or things that, you know, are just a little less entertaining. What are just a few takeaways that anyone who comes to this luncheon will be able to apply regardless of what field they're marketing in?
Well, I think, you know, just the most thing I could stress, I think, is probably making sure that you establish a strategy from the get-go and staying true to it. There are a lot of times where, you know, we certainly have the opportunity to stray from brand. And, you know, as a marketer, you can always play the brand card. But, you know, one example I'll give that I use a lot is, as I'm sure you were probably aware, we had a tryout with who then was called Chad Ochocinco was his name. Now he's back to Chad Johnson. But was a wide receiver for the Bengals at that time, and they were locked out due to the issues with the NFL and the players union. And we had reached out to him about trying out with our club, because he was interested in doing something as he was, you know, off and would have been going through some of the mini camps and sounded like he was a little bored. And obviously, you know, Chad likes the attention and we knew that. So, you know, we reached out to him and was able to get him to come to Kansas City and try out with the club and knew that there would be somewhat of a media circus around it, but it would be good exposure for the team. But we wanted to be very genuine about how we market our club. We want to be very authentic. And so from our standpoint, it was very tempting to open up the practices to the general public and start selling 85 sporting jerseys and doing autograph appearances all over the place. But if we would have done that, then it would have harmed everything that we were trying to do with this. And really, the opportunity to have him here was for him to see how hard it was, to see how talented these guys are and how you can't just, even if you're one of the world, you know, the best athletes in the world, you can't just stop playing after high school and expect to come right back in and play for a Major League Soccer team. And when he got out there and trained with us, he knew immediately how difficult it was. And what that led to, though, was more genuine appreciation for what we were doing as a club and where the league was at, but also the fact that, you know, we were looking as this is an opportunity to get better. Now, did we think that he would make the team? Thought that the shots were probably, you know, the shot was probably pretty long. But what happened, though, was we got a lot of great exposure for it, and so did the league, and ESPN ended up doing a six-minute bit about it. But we didn't take advantage of it to the point where people would have thought it was a stunt. And that was important for us, so that people understood that, yeah, we may do some things that are a little unique because we've got a different voice than other professional sports teams, specifically in this market. But, you know, the whole point was we looked at this as potential for us to maybe get better if he did turn out to be, you know, someone that was at the level that could help the team. But if not, we treated him like we treated any other player that would come out and try out for the club. And we didn't try to make a circus out of it. And, you know, that, to me, kind of laid the groundwork for how we're going to approach ourselves in terms of, you know, marketing communications and making sure that, you know, people know that, that we're going to be very authentic in how we promote the club and how we do things. And you know, we're not going to do things just to get people in the stands that, you know, maybe kind of seem a little minor leaguish. And that was important for us because I think certainly the general public in Kansas City may have thought that, or, you know, some of them may have looked at us and not on par with the other professional sports teams. And it was very critical that we, from the very beginning, establish ourselves as being on par with those other clubs.
Well, that's a great example, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty other points of application for everyone who joins us at the lunch. Andy, it's been a pleasure talking with you. It's a fascinating topic, and we'll look forward to hearing more.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for KCIABC today. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes as well as our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to receive automatic updates on both. Learn more about us at kc.iabc.com. Thanks again.